Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Because we're going to talk about another gospel, any other gospel, 2 Corinthians, another gospel. Paul is trying to warn us about something, about a different gospel that is coming. In fact, there's millions of it already here. There's this kind of gospel and that kind of gospel and that kind of, you can be closer to God if you do this and all that nonsense. So it already is here, but I think that coming to this world is a perverted gospel. I think it's going to come by an angel. I'll show you that in a minute. To this world, and many people are going to fall for it. Many church people are going to fall for it. Okay? So he says in Galatians 1 verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. We cannot deliver ourselves. No amount of work that we do, no amount of positive speaking that we can utter will change our condition in any way, shape, or form. If Christ does not deliver us, if Christ did not give himself for us and for our sins, we can't do it ourselves. We can't even do part of it on our own, which really is at the core of a different gospel. Any different gospel than the one preached in the Bible is always going to require a partial payment or a partial fulfillment or a partial requirement from you that Christ did not cover or was not able to. Roman Catholicism says it this way. Yes, we believe Jesus paid the price for our sins, but we also teach that you have a part that you must perform and pay because it's your sins. You have to do some of it on your own. You have to do penance. You have to pray the rosary. You have to walk up and down on your knees, the steps to the church. You have to bleed. You have to flagellate yourself. You have to pay some sort of price and penalty, like indulgences, for your own sin. So that's what I'm talking about. And there's 1,000 different gospels out there. All of them require a performance or a payment or an utterance on your part. Say the magic words. Then God will give you greater blessings. Christ did it all, my friend. He did it all. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. We covered that. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, any gospel that does not match this gospel of this book right here is a perverted gospel. Ellen White, perverted. Joe Smith, perverted. The Hebrew Roots, perverted. Roman Catholic Church, perverted. Albert Pike, perverted it. It's all a perverted gospel because it's going to require a work of some kind or performance of some kind. So he says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And he mentions an angel here. Now, I have this little theory I'm working on, all right? Think of it like this. Christ comes down from heaven with the Word of God, and he gives it to us. He does it according to the book. I come, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so Christ comes to us from heaven, bringing us the gospel so that we could believe and trust in Christ and trust his words and receive everlasting life. We are being given from heaven the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we are born again by that seed. It's just like, I'm going to use this analogy. It's just like you being the product of your earthly father and your mother. Your father brought the seed to your mother, and you were born of that. You were born of that seed. So here we have Christ bringing the incorruptible word of God, it going into us, just like putting a seed into the ground. We are the ground. We're made from the earth, the dirt. And the seed goes into us, and it springs forth everlasting life. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think an angel is going to come down from heaven. Or let's say a bunch of angels coming down. Actually, they're getting thrown down. They're getting cast out, fallen from heaven. And they are going to bring a seed, a word, a corruptible word. Like they're going to bring a package of Monsanto seeds, right? We will, the earth would be full, the earth would be filled with genetically modified devils, all right? Genetically modified humans. And that seed that people are going to receive is going to be a corruptible seed brought by an angel from heaven. Not a good angel. Not like Michael or Gabriel or Jesus, who is the angel of the Lord, but a corrupted, evil angel. I'm going to show you, there's a picture of that. I'll show it to you, all right? So anyway, three times here, Paul mentions another gospel, any other gospel, any other gospel. If I remember right, the number of the word gospel or gospels in your King James Bible is 104, which is a divisible by 4. It's 26 times 4, I think it is. All right, I may be wrong, but I remember that. I have to look it up later. You can look it up now. King James Pure Bible Search. Go to purebiblesearch.com, download it, type in gospel, and put an asterisk next to it. Give you every place. Four of those 104 occurrences of the word gospel or gospels refers to a different gospel. Three of them are right here in Galatians. Another gospel, any other gospel, any other gospel. The fourth one is, we back up, and it's in 2 Corinthians 11, and it just happens to be in verse 4. Let me read you verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. God is jealous, right? For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now let me stop you right here for a minute. Remember what I just said about an angel. Here is Christ coming down to us. He is the bridegroom. We are espoused to him, which means we've been spoke for. That's the way the old timers used to say it. You get away from my daughter. She's already been spoke for, which means somebody else came a calling before you did. All right? So anyway, we've been spoken for. We have been espoused as the bride to Christ. God's jealous over this thing. Christ is jealous over this thing. And Paul is jealous over it. And Paul says, I don't want any other dude coming to the bride who I espoused to Christ. I don't want somebody else coming in saying, hey, baby. Okay. How'd you like to come with me? Okay. I'll give you the world, baby. Come on. Come on. Okay. The husband, the jealous espoused husband, is going to kick somebody's teeth down their throat. He's not going to put up with that. Because it happens, doesn't it? It happens. A gal going to marry some guy. And all of a sudden, some other wolf comes in on the scene behind the guy's back, and he's working on his soon-to-be wife. And all of a sudden, she gone. She's with that other guy. Okay? It's happened. It has happened while they were at the church. It has happened. And Paul says, here's what I'm telling you. I want you to bear with me because I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. But here's what I'm afraid. He says, but I fear, in verse 3, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Remember, here is Adam. God brought Eve to Adam. She belongs to him. Here comes the serpent. Hey, baby. I've got a different seed for you. Okay? See that fruit over there? See how it works? As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted. Remember that word corruption. Incorruptible seed versus corrupted seed. should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How do you corrupt somebody's mind? Words. Words will corrupt. These words are incorruptible, and you'll have the pure doctrine. This stuff here will corrupt your minds. It's not just rock and roll music that corrupts the minds of people. It's books like what Ellen White writes and all these other Hebraic roots and Morals and Dogman and Joe Smith and all this other garbage that'll corrupt men's minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Where's my Book of Mormon? Here it is. Okay? There it is. Another Jesus. Right there. He that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit. How do you get another spirit? You read a different Bible. Because the Bible is the Spirit of God. And if you're going to another Bible that doesn't say what this Bible says, it is another spirit. Same thing applies, and it'll teach another Jesus. Same thing applies with another gospel. In these books is a different gospel. These books will teach you, as you read through it, it will teach you that you must go back and keep Torah. Must go back and keep the law. That is another gospel than what's presented in this book. And even these people agree. The people who teach and preach Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventists, Hebrew roots, Freemasonry, on and on. You name it, on and on. The Roman Catholic Church, Churches of Christ, you name it. They all teach a different gospel, and they say that their gospel is different than what's presented in this English King James Bible. They say this is perverted, so we now are going to come and give you the real stuff. And many people fall for it. He said, if you receive or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, Mr. Smooth and Mr. Slick, Mr. Good Looking, with his enticing words, is going to come to the bride and say, baby, boy, I sure do love you. In fact, I would be closer to you right now than that far away Jesus is ever going to be. And Paul gets jealous, and I'm telling you, I said it in Pastor Mike online yesterday, I get jealous. When I see people that I love in my church that I care about deeply, when I see some wolf working in the background to try to subvert them, I get mean about it. I hate this. I did this one night and I got sick to my stomach and I was a nervous wreck for a week. I had to cast some people out of here. And found out last night, because I mentioned this yesterday, they left here because I cast them out. They were working behind my back. They went to a good friend of mine, Pastor Waymire, to Fundamental Church, King James Church, did the same thing over there. He cast them out. He told me that family has gone to all the churches that he's pastored and helped start over the years to try to subvert him. Those pastors called him and said, we're throwing these people out. They've been thrown out. They admitted to me they had been thrown out of every church they ever got into. And I know why now. And he got jealous over his flock. I got jealous over my flock. We just don't put up with that stuff. Okay? I'm not easygoing when somebody wants to come to my people with something different than what's in this book. I'm not nice about it. Because I know where it leads. I know where it's going. I know the path that they're going to be going on. It's going to be another gospel. So he said, you might well bear well with them, but I'm standing there going, I'm going to try to break this up as soon as I can. So in 2 Corinthians 11 is the same chapter where later on Paul says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Ellen, everybody's fallen. Following Ellen White like she is like the 14th apostle. Like she is some great, wonderful apostle that God sent down in the latter days. They did that with Joseph Smith. See, Joseph Smith and then Brigham Young and then all of the successors there are the living apostles that succeed one another and give these new doctrines to the Mormon Church. Roman Catholic Church, the Pope is a living apostle. And they believe in apostolic succession. Ellen White, Joe Smith, the Hebrew Roots, all of these people. And I'll even put it like this. I am not required by any place in the Bible to follow men like John Calvin, Jacob Arminius, Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, Dwight L. Moody, Jack Hiles, you name it. I'm not required to submit myself to their authority in any way. Oh, they might have a few good ideas every now and then, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to be judged not by Joe Smith, John Calvin, Pope Francis, Billy Graham, anybody else. I'm not going to be judged by them or what they said. I'm going to be judged by the contents of this book and this book alone. And what has happened in 2,000 years, well, I'll tell you what, I'm meddling now. What has happened in 2,000 years is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve represents the woman, the church. What does the church do with the Word of God? It always screws it around some way. It always twists it. It always adds to it, adds some other doctrine. The Jews did it with the Tanakh and the Talmud and all the other stuff that they piled on top of the law, and churches do it all over the world. They add stuff to the Word of God, usually in the form of a doctrinal statement or some sort of book that outlines what they believe. And it's usually going to go astray somehow, some way, from the words that are in this book. And I have people ask me, Pastor, do you believe in this doctrine? Do you believe in this ism? Do you believe in that ism? Do you believe... I only believe what I see in this Bible. Ask me what verse I believe in the Bible. You believe John 3:16? Oh yeah, all the time, every day, twice on Sundays. You believe 1 Timothy 3:16? Well, you better believe I do. You believe Psalm 50? Absolutely. That's what I believe. That's the standard that I'm going to be held to by God. And so when somebody approaches you with, oh, do you believe in Calvinism? Do you believe in Arminianism? Do you believe in this? Listen, those guys were not my apostles. This is what I believe. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their, there it is, works. It's always going to be their works. And right here, I mean, I try to defend the common salvation, like Jude said, as much as possible. But I don't think I have to go out and shoot these guys that are preaching all this nonsense over here. God's got an end for them. He does. He's got an end for them. He's got something that is waiting for them. And when they get there, they're not going to like it. And God will take care of it. But something I learned a long time ago, God uses the false teachers, the false prophets, the false church members, the false witnesses, the false brethren brought in unawares. God uses them to pull away only those who are going to be pulled away. God uses them to show who is and who isn't. So here's how it's done. They come in. And they use what the Bible says is enticing words. Let me show you what I mean. Deuteronomy 13:6. Deuteronomy 13 is a really, really... If you look in Revelation 13, there's a false prophet. If you look in Acts 13, there's a false prophet. If you go to Deuteronomy 13, you'll find false prophets. In fact, let me read to you what I just said about God uses the false prophets, so you don't think I'm one. I don't believe that. Where'd you get that nonsense from? I ain't never heard that. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, God will allow these false teachers and false prophets to both be right sometimes and to give signs and wonders. And there are whole churches that are nothing but signs and wonders. False signs and lying wonders. Woe be to those people. Watch out for that stuff. that giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3, Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Who sent them? God did. There's a picture of it in the Bible. The Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, God is using the Ellen Whites and the Joe Smiths and the Staleys and all of these other people. God's using them to draw the line between who is and who ain't. That's what he's doing. And then in verse 6, If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly. You see, the couple that came to this church, they never came to me and said, Pastor, we're going to start working through the people in your congregation, and we're going to start teaching them things and trying to get them on board with some things that we brought with us that you're not even teaching. They never said that to me. Towards the end, I knew something was going on, and I talked to the man, and he told me, he said, I'm just frustrated. I said, why? He said, I'm having a hard time trying to convince the people in this church that things that they're doing is wrong. And I looked at him and I said, number one, that is not your place. That's mine. Number two, I don't even sit and just pick at everybody in this church about everything they're doing wrong. If God calls me to preach something, I do it. If God calls me to say something, privately or publicly, I'll say it. But it's not up to me to change anybody in this church. That belongs to God and His Word and His Spirit. And I knew something wasn't right. But they entice secretly. And then it says, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, neither hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Now, I didn't kill the guy. Okay, I didn't kill him. What I did was I disabled his ability from working any further in this church. And after I did, somebody came to me, several came to me and said, we didn't want to say anything, we didn't want to cause trouble, but they came to us and was saying all kinds of things about you, Pastor. I had a feeling. So what I did was, in essence, I killed them. In other words, I destroyed their ability to do any more harm in this church. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones. You know what that is? Okay? Just give him Bible verses. That's the living stone, right? Okay? That he died, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. So they will entice thee. They will use some sort of enticing words, enticing promises, or whatever, in order to draw people away from the way that God saves them into another gospel. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What will sinners do? Here, take a drink. Here, smoke this. Here, take this pill. Let me give you a shot of this. You ever tried meth? Let me give you, I promise you, when I give you one, you'll be begging for more. And they entice people. Ladies enticing men. Men enticing ladies. Now it's men enticing men. Ladies enticing ladies. He says, when they do that, consent thou not. False teachers will always entice those who said, I want to know God and I want to follow God. And these guys are waiting. They're waiting on YouTube. They're on Facebook. They're waiting everywhere to entice you away from this. Don't consent to it. Don't do it. Proverbs 16:29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. That's this. Okay? I'm telling you, this is not good. This here, the Book of Mormon, promises you, and the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, all go together. They promise you that if you confess your sins, God will in fact forgive your sins. However, if you go back then, a day, a week, a month, a year later, and commit that same sin all over again, according to them, God takes off the forgiveness that He once forgave you of, brings that old sin back on you, now you're twice as guilty all over again. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know anybody who has only committed a certain sin one time. I don't know that people, that person or those people. I don't know them. We all do it over and over again. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. No, I'm not saying go out and sin, do whatever you want to. Okay? You're either not saved, or if you are, you're going to get a whooping. You won't be able to stand up for a week. Okay? You see, these guys are going to try to get you into a way that's not good. And usually, it's going to be done through the ego. In other words, they promise that if you perform what they perform, or what they pretend to perform, that you are going to get closer to God, and you are going to get more goodies from God than those of us who are only believing in God. That's how they're entice you with your ego, your pride, your desire to have. That's how they entice you. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you know, sometimes it's best if we find somebody that we really believe they are born again. Oftentimes it's best not to try to sit and talk long enough until you figure out what they don't agree with that you agree with. Because then that just kind of puts an enmity between you and them. And I have friends in the ministry, guys, and I've mentioned some of them before, Pastor Evangelist Hutzel, Pastor Kelly, Pastor Waymire, others that I can call on that I love dearly and they love me dearly. And I could go to any one of those guys if I was ever in trouble and say, guys, I really need help, I need prayer. They'd be there for me right then. I would be for them as well. But we don't need to sit and talk about all the things that we don't agree with each other on. Okay? Look back here in 1 Corinthians 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I just think it's best with people that we just not get into every little thing that we don't like about each other. All right? Remember the analogy of how, you may not have heard this, of how muscles attach to bones and how bones are attached to another. And this is important because Paul brought up the idea of the body of Christ being banded together with joints and bands. And he's referring to tendons and tendons are what joins muscle to bone. All right? Let me show you how that works. Did you ever wonder how you have a muscle attached to a bone? Muscle, soft tissue. Bone's hard. It's a rock. It's a stone. Okay? Is it stapled on there? Does it use a screw? Is it glued on there? Does it wrap around, tie in a knot? No. The muscle in stages, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The muscle in stages, in a four-part process, becomes more like bone material All the while, the bone is becoming more like the muscle. Okay? This is cool. And so there, in a few vital points, because my bone is not attached 100% of its surface with muscle tissue, but in vital points, this bone is connected to this bone in areas where they have come together and are in agreement. This, it's like a husband and wife. They don't agree on everything, but in the vital areas, they have become like one another. Okay? And that is how you and I should see the brethren. And I see too much on Facebook, social media, YouTube, where somebody is always trying to pick at everybody, waiting for them to say one thing that they think is false or they don't agree with, and then just blast them as a false prophet and a heretic. And that makes me mad. It angers me when I see that. Because we're not all made alike. But in vital areas, God has tied us and knit us together. In areas with my friends and brethren in the ministry, okay, we're joined together in all the right places. And I wouldn't presume to try to go after them on things that I think they're wrong in. That is not my place. Grow up, people. For I had determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You want to lead somebody to the Lord? Use these words. You want to convince somebody of doctrine? Use these words, not enticing words of man's wisdom. Because that's the words, and those are the kind of words that false prophets are going to use. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me put it to you like this. And there's a lot of agreement and disagreement in the body of Christ about certain lifestyles, certain ways certain people should live. And I'll tell you, city Christians live a different lifestyle than country Christians do. All right? It's just a different lifestyle. And if we're not careful, one group, the city people, could be blasting and criticizing those who live in the country for how they live. And I know it works. I know how it is. Those of you in the country blasting away at those who live in town, you don't like how they live. All right? You just don't like that. And I heard a man preach this, very profound, not going to tell who it was, very profound. He said, if somebody could preach a standard to you, and you accept it by their words, somebody else could come along and preach it away from you. And I've seen it happen. I've seen over the course of all my years in this church, different pastors had different standards. And one pastor would come in and he would say, I think all you women should wear a dress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even when you go out in public, even when you're not in church, this is how it's going to be. And there would be people who would go into that. And I'm not saying anything against it. But here's my point. You would never see them in anything other than a dress. When that pastor left and another pastor came in and he didn't really emphasize that too much, you know what the people started doing? Started wearing slacks everywhere. Why? One preacher preached it into them, another preached it out of them. So, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If God then, ladies, tells you, this is what I want you to wear, you'll do it for the rest of your life and you'll never falter at it, ever. Because you know God told you to do that. That's very wise when it comes to us looking at other Christians and judging them on the basis of what we see. God spoke, you think God spoke to you? Amen, praise the Lord. But if God can speak to you, how is it that you think that God tried to speak to them and they're being rebellious? Okay? Maybe God hasn't brought them to that yet. Maybe God is waiting on other things that you can't see. So have a little patience with people. Have a little confidence that God is very well aware of who's doing what and who's getting away with what. Let God do it. Let God deal with it. I got a perfect illustration in this church, and I really don't want to say it publicly, but somebody in this church made a life change that I knew they needed to make. And it was kind of a touchy situation with them. If I said the wrong thing, it would have offended them. They would have left. And one day this person came to me, and they showed me something where their life change took place that I knew needed to be done. And I just went, I couldn't believe it. And I knew right then that it wasn't me that did it. It was the Holy Spirit. And God taught me a lesson. Mike, you're going to be with these people a long time. Be patient with them. Be courteous to them. Be kind to them. Don't beat them over the head with what you think they ought to be doing. That's my place. Whew, boy, God's good. Then get back to this. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches, the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, you've got it all right here. Anything you need to know, you've got it all right here. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. I just got an email. I haven't responded back yet. I just saw an email that came in. Guys saying, Pastor, man, that King James Pure Bible Search software, man, that is the cat's meow, man. Because I've been trying to talk to somebody in the Hebrew roots, and I told them, we're gonna search the scriptures, and we're going to look for the Shekinah glory. Fair enough? Guy says, I guarantee you it's in there. So they used the Pure Bible Search web portal, typed in the word Shekinah. It ain't there. God was able to use that to show that man that what he said was biblical from the Hebrew roots wasn't even in the Bible. They will come to you and beguile you with enticing words. And Paul is saying here that we have all of the riches and all of the full assurances and all the understandings and all the acknowledgments of the mysteries of God, and we have all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge right here in this book. And he says, I'm telling you that in case someone comes to you with enticing words. If they say it and it ain't in here, it's a lie. It's a very subtle one, but it's a lie. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's what all of this does. It entices you with you being a superior, quote-unquote, saint of God than the people who only believe and are saved. Seventh-day Adventist people exalt the fourth commandment, and they therefore exalt everyone who, according to them, honors the fourth commandment by going to church, which is nowhere in the law. But they exalt that, and they exalt the people who do it. So much so that they think that anybody who is not doing what they're doing on the Sabbath day, they accuse them of having the mark of the beast. You don't have the mark of the beast, do you? Well, no, I don't want that. You want to really be pleasing to God. You want to be closer to God by doing these things other than these other people who don't do them. They get nothing from God. Well, yeah, that's what I want. Then come on over to the dark side and be in church on Saturday, and we promise you that you'll have better things from God than everybody else will. Or if you say Yahushua, then that pleases Yahushua better than the pagans who say, hey, Zeus, like they're calling to the god Zeus. They're enticing people. They're drawing them away with their own lust and enticing them. And then look what he says. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, lust comes by way of a word or a thought or an image. Lust is conceived in the mind, just like a child is conceived in the womb. A thought is conceived. Lust, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it is finished. It's only two places in the whole King James Bible where the phrase, "it is finished," is used. Remember the other one? He said, "it is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then when sin, when "it is finished," bringeth forth death. See how they match? You see how this Bible is just... Man, do not err, my beloved brethren. Because the way that these are taking you, when they entice you away with their words and their images, the way that they're taking you will end up in death. I promise you. That's how it's going to work. Now, I said I was going to. There's a picture of this in your Bible, 2 Chronicles. Okay? I remember when I read this, it just, boom, mind blown. That's how it's going on. Remember God saying in Deuteronomy 13, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams that is trying to pull you away to the other gods, I sent them. Babylon hath been a golden cup in my hand. I'm going to pour it out. God shall turn them over to a reprobate mind. I will send strong delusion that they will believe a lie. You see how it works? Let me show you the picture that Micaiah saw when it came time for Ahab to be delivered to his own death. Here's how it worked. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 18. Remember, Ahab and I think it's Jehoshaphat. Ahab wants the king of Judah to go to war with him. King of Judah says, "What do the prophets say?" Ahab said, "I got 400 prophets. All four of them said, go to war tomorrow. You'll have such a victory." One of them made a set of horns out of iron. Okay? And he said, "See these horns, Ahab? With these horns, you're going to push back the enemy and you're going to prevail. God showed us that." And he's like, "Isn't there somebody else that we can hear from?" Ahab goes, "Well, there's this one guy, Micaiah, but I hate him. He never tells me. I don't go to that King James only church. They never tell me what I want to hear. I go to the community outreach center, the Agape Love Center, and we sing praise and worship, rock and roll for 30 minutes, and we get a 10-minute sermon, and he says things I like to hear." And that's King Ahab. He's going, "I hate him. Never tells me anything nice. Never. I don't like that." So they brought Micaiah up. And in verse 18, he said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left." Now, I just kind of think that the ones on the right hand of God where the book is, those are the good angels. And the left ones, remember Jesus divides the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And I think on the left, the weak side, I think is where all the devils are. I think that's where all the lying angels, lying spirits, evil angels are. And we're going to see one of them work. He says in verse 19, "And the Lord said, who shall entice?" See that word? See how it works now? "Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith?" Or in other words, how will you do it? And I want you to get this. That spirit that stood up and went before God and said, "God, I'll entice them." Do you not realize that God made that angel that way? He made that angel. He made Lucifer. God said that he created evil. He created darkness. God said that. How did he do that? He put two trees in the Garden of Eden. And then he sent a serpent down to entice Eve and beguile her with his words and bring her to a false gospel. Because that's what it was in the Garden of Eden. It was another gospel. It was promising her immortality the wrong way. That's what this is. So God created this particular beast angel to do exactly what he was going to use it for. He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. See this book, The Great Controversy, Ellen White? Written by a lying spirit. Book of Mormon, brought down in the hands of an angel, written by a lying spirit. Morals and Dogma, the Jewish Roots Bibles, Hebraic Roots Bibles, all inspired to choose different words in the translation than what's in the King James by a lying spirit. And mark it down. If they are a false prophet and they're preaching false doctrine, they cannot be saved. Okay? God said in Ezekiel 13, they're not written in the writing of the house of Israel. Their names are not in my book anywhere. They're not mine. So he said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. And of course, Ahab said, See, I told you. He doesn't say anything nice. He doesn't say anything good. But he said the truth. And this guy, God wanted us with this story to understand that just because they're called minister, just because they're called pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, rabbi, just because they are called apostle or whatever, that does not mean that they have the truth. I'm almost done. There's some advertisements that have been coming on early morning news time on local television here in St. Louis. And when I wake up in the morning, I flip the news on and we'll see how things are going, see what the weather's doing, so on and so on. All right? And these guys, the Churches of Christ, bought ad time, and there's two guys there that are trying to convince everybody to tune in to their broadcast and come to one of the Churches of Christ. And I tell you what, they are just devils. Because they require works-based salvation. Water baptism is a must. And if you are not baptized in a Church of Christ baptistry, you are going to hell. That's what they teach. And it angers me every time I see them. And boy, I want to get on there with another ad right behind them and say, see, remember those two guys there? They were lying through their teeth. Don't watch their show. Oh, wish I could do that. So I'm here and I'm telling you, don't fall for that nonsense. Because God has dispatched a lying spirit. And that, remember Jeremiah and Isaiah. Remember, and Ezekiel. Remember how, and John in Revelation. How did God transmit his words? He said, Jeremiah, open your mouth. And he opened his mouth, and God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. And he said, now, Jeremiah says, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? I got a mouth full of words. God said, go out and give those to those people. They need to hear it. Whether they want to hear it or not, they're going to hear it. So just like God transmits his word to the mouth of these holy men, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God put his exact words in their mouth, and they spoke it, wrote it exactly the way. Here is these lying spirits, and they go and put their enticing words into the mouths of the false prophets. That's how it works. Or into the microphone at the rock and roll recording studio or country music recording studio or wherever it is. That's how it works. And I get jealous. It's a false gospel. I hate it. I don't like anything about it. And I get angry when I hear it, when I see it. I got a godly jealousy. And now that you know how it works, be very, very careful about what you're reading, what you're listening to on the internet. Because if it's not in this book, verbatim, word for word in this book, it's a lie. It's a setup. Don't believe it. All right? You have been warned. I love you. I do this because I love you. I love God's people. And I'm just tired of these false teachers getting all the victories here lately. I'm tired of it. I'd like to see some people coming out. And a lot of you have been writing me emails here lately and calling me. Man, I appreciate that. I love to hear the stories of the people that have come out, and now they're stuck on this book, all right? Hey, I love you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.